For those that don't know me, my name is David. And, little David. And I left Goliath back in the jungle. Before I start, I had to cancel the preaching engagement I had in Minnesota. In Buchanan, Michigan. Because the brother, his name is also David. David Mitchell. There's a lot of Davids. It's a good name. It's called Beloved. I love that name. And it had to be canceled because he'd been sick for about a year, and come find out he has a tumor in the brain. So before I start, can we pray for him also? His name is David Mitchell. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we ask, Father God, that you will extend your grace and mercy to David Mitchell, Father. Lord, he is much younger than I am, Lord. And Lord, I know that you have many things for him to do yet. Lord, Father God, I pray that your will be done, Father. We pray healing, Father God. I know that many people are praying for him in Mexico and other parts of the world. People are praying for him, Father. So, Lord, Father God, we stand in agreement with all these prayers, Lord, that is coming before you. We pray for his healing, Father God, in the name of Jesus, Father. Again, that your will be done. I pray for comfort and for strength upon Jan and her children, Father. And we commend them into your hands, and we thank you, Father God, in Jesus' name. Amen. Open your Bible to Matthew chapter 7. I want to share some things that I've used this scripture before, but I want to share this over again, but I want to share some other things that go with this. But before I do, I want to sing something to you. I haven't got a beautiful voice. I just want to share just a few things because I may be singing to you quite often this evening. And this is the way it goes. And I know that you all know this. Maybe some of the young people might not know it, but people my age, they sure do know it. What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and grief to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what a friend we have in Jesus. So I'm going to be sharing something about this. But first, I want you to read in Matthew with me in Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. Well, before I do, I would like to say a prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, Father God, I will glorify your Son Jesus as always, Lord, and honor him this day and this evening, Lord. I pray, Father God, that you will move in our midst and that we receive from you, Lord, because this is your word of the wonders, Father God, that you have done in each and every one of our lives, Lord. I thank you, Father God, for your mercy that you have bestowed upon me and your grace, Father. And now, Lord Jesus, I thank you because of who you are. It's all about you, Jesus. Not about me. I thank you, Father God, in the name of Jesus. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 21, I shared it before, and I'm going to share some more. Not anyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied? Well, prophesied, either he was either a prophet or he had a gift of prophecy. And in your name cast out demons in your name. You know, these signs, these things, shall follow them that believe in my name, they shall cast out demons. In your name, and done many wonders in your name. And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Now, let me share some things with you what happened here. Many years ago, I think about maybe 17, 18 years ago, I came close to having a nervous breakdown. And I didn't understand what was happening. And I was going to go to Irapuato, Guanajuato. In fact, I went with Ed Grant. But I called Mark Baldison, another missionary, who was a missionary at the time, and told him about what I felt was happening to me. And he said, David, when you come back from Irapuato, Guanajuato, pass by here, and I want to minister to you and pray with you. So I went over there. When I got to Irapuato, Guanajuato, Ed Grant and I shared it with another missionary. He said, David, there's another missionary here who you can talk to, but you have to make an appointment. He only gives you 15 minutes. And we'll go over there. So when we've gone over there, we met this missionary's wife, and she took us over there. Anyhow, no one came for about an hour. No one came for about an hour. And he said, David, the red light is on. And if you don't stop, you won't be able to make it out of Mexico alone. They're going to have to take you out. And what has happened to you is your ministry has become a substitute for the Lord. You have put your ministry before God. And that's just what I did. It's all in the name of Jesus, all those years. You know, God says, gives us the Great Commission, go, you ought to make disciples, you know, preaching. But then there's also the Great Commandment to love your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. Well, I've got so involved in my ministry, like I said, it took first place. But anyhow, when I went back to Palenque, I shared this with you before. In Isaiah chapter 44, verse 22. Isaiah 44:22, it says, I have blotted out like a thick cloud your transgressions, and like a cloud your sins. Return to me, for I have redeemed you. But let me tell you one thing. Christian service is a poor substitute for Jesus himself. When we put our ministry, is that what was happening? I was putting my ministry before the Lord. I loved my ministry more than I did Jesus. But I was doing yet everything in the name of Jesus. Christian service is a poor substitute for Jesus himself. When we get so wrapped up, so involved in our ministries, in our works, in our business, or whatever it is, anything that takes first place other than Jesus is a poor substitute for Jesus himself. Well, let me tell you what happened. Have you ever felt sometimes people, I've heard people say this, and I know they've told me this, and I've said it myself, you know what, I feel that I'm not doing enough for the Lord. I want to do more. We always want to do more. Well, let me tell you one thing. When God spoke to me, he said, David, don't you understand? that I love you because of who you are. He loves us just because of who we are. Not because of the things that you do for me. Not because of the things that you do for me. I love you just the way you are. I want a relationship with you. What a friend we have in Jesus. One day I asked a brother, how many friends have you got? Would you believe he told me he had 100 friends? I told him, son, I'm sorry to say, you haven't got 100 friends. Friends are hard to find. I can count mine in my fingers, my hand. A friend is going to stay with you. Whether you're wrong, whether you're right, whether he likes it or whether he doesn't agree with you, but he's still going to remain your friend. And Jesus is such a friend. I have had friends that just give up on me. And I have had friends that I have given up on them. Well, I'll tell you one thing. What a friend we have in Jesus. I got so wrapped up in myself, in my ministry. David, I really love you just the way you are. Just the way you are. Not the things that you do for me. No. That doesn't matter to me, son. I love you. I'll tell you one thing. It's beautiful to develop a relationship with the Lord. I don't know if I shared it with you last year when I was here. Did I share with you when Jesus appeared to me and stood beside me? Did I do that last year? I guess not. You don't remember. Well, let me tell you what happened. Several years ago, I had an experience that I've never had before. I took my wife to the doctor, and while we were there, a pastor arrived. He had a hernia, had it for 12 years. He came with his wife. Well, this doctor, his wife was also a doctor, and his two daughters were a doctor. But this doctor had fallen into sin, and his wife was very hurt because of that. But anyhow, this pastor that came that needed an operation for his hernia, a couple of days his wife came to where I was at and asked, David, hermano David, brother David, will you have a service for the doctor's wife? They had like a little bitty chapel in their clinic. It's a miniature hospital, I call it. I said, okay. So anyhow, I went to the chapel. I had a message for her, and I gave the message. What I felt the Lord wanted me to tell her words of comfort. But anyhow, when I closed my eyes, it's beautiful. When Jesus stands next to you, you're not going to have any doubts of who it is. When he stood beside me, I didn't know what to say at first. And I told her, I said, you know what? Jesus is here next to me. And he has a few words that he wants me to tell you. And everything was for her. I mean, isn't it beautiful that, you know, just for her, especially for her? And then he gave me the words. You know, I'll tell you one thing. Jesus doesn't need long sermons. He doesn't need to try to impress anyone. All it was just a few words. But let me tell you, when I had my eyes closed, I didn't want to open my eyes because I didn't want him to go. I didn't want him to go. I wanted him to stay there with me. But all he said was, he said, for her. And when he finished, I still had my eyes closed, but I didn't want him to go. And finally he left. But I still kept my eyes closed, hoping that he would come back. But when I opened my eyes, the doctor, he had his head bowed down, and he lifted up his head and he stood up and he walked toward his wife and he embraced her and he held her. Oh, what a friend we have in Jesus. You know, people say, and we probably have said it, I'm going to enjoy the day that I'm with the Lord. I'm going to enjoy being in His presence. But I've got news for you. I'm not going to wait till I get there. I'm going to enjoy Him now. I'm not going to rob myself of that blessing of my God and my Savior. I'm going to enjoy the fellowship in His presence now. I know I have a pretty good idea what it's going to be like, but I think it's going to be much more than that. But I have an idea what it's going to be like. But I am going to enjoy Him here and now. It's all about Jesus. It's not all about us. It's all about a relationship. What a friend we have in Jesus. You know, I have had people call me, David is a man of God. And you probably have people tell you that. You're a man of God. You're a woman of God. David is a servant of God. But I have never had anyone tell me, David is a friend of God. Have you ever had anyone tell you that? Have you ever had anyone tell you that you're a friend of God? I have yet to hear someone tell me that. I shared this in Kentucky, and that was this brother writing all kind of things down in the paper, and I wish I could have brought it with me. I got it in my vehicle. And he said something to me. I'm going to finish with it, but I'll tell you one thing. You know, I would like someday to meet such a friend as Jesus. I probably won't, but at least someone can come close to it, like Jesus. I would like to meet someone like that. You know, my prayers have also been, Lord, I want a friend. Bring a friend into my life that I can share my heart out to him and to her. And it's going to be just between him and thou, him and her, in you, Lord. That will be with me in my hard times, bad times. That I can be transparent like in this glass. I want a friend like that. I want a friend like Jesus. Did you know? And Jesus has a lot of servants. But he has very few friends. You know, we're so enslaved in our ministries and our things that we do. And Jesus has got a lot of servants. In John chapter 15, we have all been called, imagine, at one time or another, a servant of God. But let me share this with you. In John chapter 15, verse 14, you are my friend if you do whatever I command you. You are my friend if you do whatever I command you. No longer do I call you servant, for a servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends. For all things that I heard from my Father, I have made known to you. Jesus has got many servants, but very few friends. I no longer call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing. A servant does not know what Jesus is doing. But I have called you friends, because all things that I heard from my Father, I have made known to you. What a friend we have in Jesus. Intimacy. It's not all about us. It's all about Jesus. It's all about a relationship. And you know what? Jesus never makes it hard for us to develop a relationship with Him. But we get so wrapped up, enslaved in ourselves. David, it's not the thing that you do for me that please me. You don't have to do all those things for me. Oh, I'll tell you one thing. When I almost had that nervous breakdown, I thank God that He allowed it. Because I acknowledge that without Him, I would have never made it. He lets me know, He lets us know how frail and how weak that we are without Him. When we're trying to do things. Remember who used to sing? I did it my way. Well, I tell you one thing. I'm pretty sure Frank Sinatra regrets that. Because it didn't go his way. It's got to go God's way or no way at all. What a friend we have in Jesus. Not, I did it my way. Kapoops. It don't work like that. It's all about Jesus. It's all about a relation. I love Jesus. And He has sustained me all these years. I don't know if you know this or not, but I've been in those jungles and those mountains for years. And I always used to ask people to come down to visit me. Well, a few people came. Nathan and Joe were the first guests that came to visit me up in those jungles. Nathan made another visit. That's when my wife met me and she couldn't resist me. Don't care, I'm just kidding. But now, I'm getting a lot of people who want to visit me. I have taken a sabbatical. And God is so good. Would you believe? He loves me so much. He took me to Cancun. And when I told him that I live in Cancun, I mean, I got a list like that. Everybody wants to come visit me in Cancun. Well, I told him, you better hurry up, because I'm going back to the mountains, and I'm going back to the rivers about the last of May or the 1st of June. And all I ever want to teach is about a relationship with Jesus. I have never taught of prosperity. I wouldn't give a teaching on prosperity. I don't know what they give of prosperity. But I'll tell you one thing, I know how to prosper. All I have to do is write a book and sell it, and I'll prosper from that. They can say it, prosperity, because they're prospering off their brothers. But if you want to know of prosperity, you don't have to buy a book. Right here it is, right here. I'm sorry to say, and it's so sad, that many Christians pay good money to look up their family tree. And they send you, I don't know what they send you, but from what I heard, they always send something that you come from blue blood. Well, you know what, if I were to do that, and they tell me I got blue blood, if I come from blue blood, they would be lying. I mean, my grandfather was a thief. I mean, I come from a line of thieves. They could never tell me I'm from blue blood. I've been washed by the blood of Jesus, praise God. I mean, they pay good money to find out about their roots. Well, I'll tell you one thing, we are rooted in the Lord. And if you don't know who you are, I'll tell you one thing, give me your money, I'll tell you who you are. I'll just open up the Bible to you. I mean, if you got a problem, you need to know. People die, and they give them a last will and testament, and they say, well, I give you my cow, and I give you my horse, and I give you my donkey, and I give you my pleasing pigs. Somebody had to die to give them something, to find out what belonged to them. Well, Jesus left us this testament right here, and everything is right here what we need to know. Everything we need to know that belongs to us is here. I'm not about to pay anybody to find out, to tell me that I'm blue blood. I've been washed by the blood of Jesus. Haven't we all? Huh? And I tell you one thing, I'm heir and co-heirs of Jesus Christ. I had to make sure and correct that real good, because here a few years ago I preached in Kentucky, and when I got out, he said, David, do you know what you said this morning? I said, no. He said, David, you said that we were heirs and co-heirs of Jesus Christ. I said, oh Lord. But David, I know what you were trying to say. Excuse my English. It's heirs and co-heirs. I got to be careful how I pronounce that. I catch myself. I'm not someone bound to catch me on this. Oh, what a friend we have in Jesus. He's the best friend you'll ever want to have. It's all about a relationship. And if you want to know about prosperity, all you have to do is give your tithes and offerings. That's all you need to know. That's all. You don't have to go out there and spend your money on someone else to make him prosper. Don't do that. Don't do that. Buy a Bible and send it to somebody that needs it in another part of the country, another part of the world. Jesus is the best friend. It's all about Jesus. It's not all about us. I pace myself now, you know. Could be because I just turned 67 on the 25th of this month. You know, I asked the Lord, give me till 90 years old to serve you. Well, anyhow, after a while, I finally changed my mind. I said, but you have to make it, you have to keep me in good health. I changed my mind. I said, Lord, can you make that 100? But since I've been here this time, I've been looking at so many people my age, and I thought, well, Lord, please, oh God, you know, I don't want to wear a diaper at the age of 80. You know, make that 80. Just take me out at 80. I don't want to get to the place I'm finally wearing a diaper. You know, Satan, God, please don't help me. Help me, Lord. Don't let me get to my childhood again. Take me before that. What a friend we have in Jesus. When I was a little boy, my mother and I, they took me to Arkansas. When I was a little boy to pick cotton, they gave me a potato sack. I'd fill it up with rocks and cotton and everything else I could get them. I couldn't carry the thing. It was too heavy for me. Besides, I was too short. I was even shorter then. But there was a lady that took a liking to me, and I'll never forget. And she used to play the piano for me. And she used to sing this. She used to, I've got it written down in my other Bible. Said, just a closer walk with thee. When did Jesus is my plea? You know, I never knew that. That's all I knew. But last year they finally wrote it down to me and I got it in my other Bible. But my prayer to the Lord is, Lord, the day that I go with you, will you please introduce me to this lady that used to sing this song to me when I was a little boy? I want to know her, Lord. Because when I was just a little bitty boy, I have never forgotten. You know, that was a seed that was planted there when I was just a little guy. And I have never forgotten that. Just those few little words. What a friend we have in Jesus. I don't know. I never learned the whole song, but I always learned the most important one. What a friend we have in Jesus. And that's the best friend. It's all about Jesus. It's not about us. It's not about our ministry, wrapped ourselves in us, or how much we, Lord, I feel that I'm not doing enough. Son, daughter, I love you. Just because of who you are. Just because of who you are. You don't need to try to impress me or please me. You don't have to try to do all those things for me. I just love you. I just love you. And it's so beautiful. It's not such a struggle to try to have a relationship with Jesus. It's something so simple. But we make it so hard on ourselves. We make it so hard on ourselves. God is a good God. And He has kept me there for 24 years. Come rain or come shine and everything else. And I am moving back to the mountains. And I'm going back to the rivers. I'm in His hands. We're in His hands. The best hands we'd ever want to be in. And He will take care of us. He will never leave us, nor will ever forsake us. One day, many years ago, when I first became a missionary, I've been there 24 years, must have been about 22 years ago. I was in a truck, and I parked at this yard because I was going to go to this home. And the little boy came out. And he said, don't go. I love you. I'll sleep with you. I told him, go on in. Tell your parents I'm going to be there after a while. I just felt lonely. I felt a loneliness. Just came over me. Felt crying and sad. And the little boy came out again. And he said, don't go. I love you. I'll sleep with you. So I told him to go in again. But when he went, it wasn't the little boy that was speaking to me. The Lord was telling me, son, I will never leave you nor will I ever forsake you. I will be with you always. And when Jesus spoke to me, I started to cry. Because Jesus used that little bitty boy to bring comfort to me in my time of loneliness. Isn't Jesus beautiful? I want to share a testimony that I heard once. It was about a little boy. And this is for real, this happened. He had a few tracks left. Him and his father used to go on tracks, but he had a few left. His pastor, his father was a pastor. And he wanted to go out and share these, pass out these tracks, and his father said, no, the weather's too bad. But he kept on, and finally said, okay. So we went giving our tracks. So finally, he came to have his last track and knocked on his door, and no one answered. And he knocked again. And what had happened? There was a little lady that had gone to church that Sunday. And she said, someone knocked on my door and I wouldn't answer. They knocked again and I wouldn't answer. And he knocked the third time. I was ready to take my life. I had lost my husband. I felt I had nothing to live for. And I was going to hang myself. But there was this knock on this door. I wouldn't leave. And when I opened the door, there was a little bitty angel that was there and told me, you know what? Jesus loves you and so do I. And gave her this track. And that's why I am here. She was telling this to the congregation. The pastor was a little boy's father. There was a little boy right there in the church. And that was his father. God is so good. And he knew, and he sent a little bitty boy. Oh, what a friend we have in Jesus. He is indeed a friend. A friend like him we will never find. But be in our hurts, in our comforts, in our joys, in our sorrows. But he is there, day and night. I don't have to be like when you call on the phone, sometimes they put you on hold and they play this music and they say, we'll be with you in a while. And then they'll send you to someone else and they'll send you to someone else. But we got a direct call to the Lord and he'll never hang up. I don't care what hour it is, what day it is, he will never hang up. He will never put us on hold. What a friend we have in Jesus. He's wonderful, isn't he? He's kind, gentle. He is everything that we could ever want. It's all about Jesus. It's not about us. What a friend we have in Jesus. Oh God, I thank you, Father. Lord, that we can be called your friend. Call us your friend, Lord. Forgive us, Lord, that we have put at times our ministry before you, our job before you. It's all about us, isn't it, sometimes, Lord? And we forget that it's all about you, not about us. Oh God, forgive us, Father, for our selfishness. Only thinking of ourselves. Yes, Lord, we'll do it. The Lord's work. But we get so hung up, Lord, doing it, we neglect you. Without even thinking, Lord, as it happened to me. Be merciful to us, oh God. And help us to have this relationship. That we not only be servants, but above all, that you can call us your friend. You are my friend. I have yet to have anyone call me that, Lord. Maybe someday. Someday, Lord. I thank you, Father God, for this letter that I received from the brother at the church when he was writing these things down. And in it, Lord, you mentioned that you call me your friend. Thank you, oh God. Thank you, Father. But Lord, we all want to be your friends, Lord, because you have no respect for persons, Lord. You have no favorites. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, oh God, for your love and for your friendship. Amen. Thank you, Ronald.